I don't get to do that often here, but maybe once a year. So I get the first of the year. It's awesome this year. So my name is John, if you don't know me. I'm one of the elders here at this church. I also serve as a missionary in the community at the Promise Valley, a ministry of Seneca Gospel Mission. So if you'd like to know more about what we do at this church, please talk to me afterwards or more about that ministry as well. So as we open up this new year, we're going to be opening up together the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Is that, oh, here's the little clicker here. I can control my own slides. That's awesome. Thanks. All right. So beginning a new year is often a time of celebration and reflection. We can look back and say, what an amazing year I had. Or, I don't know how I did it, but I survived 2015. We can look forward and anticipate all the wonders in store of the next year, all the resolutions we need to make our lives better. Or even we can look forward in fear of what's around the bend. You only live once, as the kids say, YOLO. We have one life, so what is it meant for? We'll be looking at that together today. These can be some pretty heavy thoughts. Questions such as, where am I going with my life? Am I living it right? Is there more to it than all this? Fill in the blank. Oh, whether it's schoolwork, routine, work. Is there more to it than just living? So let's take some time and reflect on the words from one who was about to face the end, death. A death he aimed his whole life toward for the love of another, his father. In these words, we can find that life's meaning is more than just living. So let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to look at your word together. I pray that your spirit would illuminate our hearts this morning as we consider your words and your son, Jesus Christ. I pray this in his name. Amen. So we begin our story after a startling revelation, after the first communion, where friendship was about to be betrayed, and a prophecy of loyalty wilting in the face of fear was just given. Peter said he would stand up and die with Christ, but Jesus said, no, you're going to deny me. We begin in John 14, verse 1. It says this, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. There is more to life than just living. There is God, the source of all life. Jesus refers to him as his Father, and that he, Jesus, is the way to him. These close friends were about to go through a painful time of change. Their teacher, leader, and friend was going to suffer, and they were going to question their dearest held beliefs. These words were given, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. The knowledge of the presence of God changes how we live. Our ways are no longer our own. There is a power greater than us who, at his whim, can change life as we know it. Is he good? Is he just? Is he wise? Yes, God is. So is Jesus, his son, pointing us constantly to him. In our hearts, our conscience bears witness to what is wrong and what is right. We know sin, that which opposes God's way. It is a path Judas chose, the betraying friend, hungry to feed his little god of pleasure and money. He had no love for the Father or his son Jesus. Its result, separation from the one who was the way to all he really needed. And here is Jesus, with his remaining friends, beckoning, "Know me and know my Father." He brought to those questioning life's sudden changes and gave them a surety of mind and heart grounded in the unchanging, ever-present God, his Father. The destination of a dwelling place with God was assured, and the way to it secured through him. There was a time when I was driving far up north in Saskatchewan, Canada, that my GPS told me to turn off onto a dirt road from the main highway and continue to my destination. Being at my first time in that part of the country, I followed its directions. I ended up in the middle of a giant cornfield, navigating a bumpy dirt road that ran parallel to the smooth highway. It was a fun experience, but not a speed I wanted to continue for the rest of my trip. So a few miles later, at the next intersection, I made my way back onto the main highway. I was not sure why my GPS brought me there. Sometimes even the most advanced man-made things can get us lost. If you're trusting anything man-made in your life, it will fail. If you're trusting in anything at all, trust in Christ with the direction of your life. Look no further than God himself as your destination. And so the story after the first communion continues when Philip in John 14, verse 8, asks this question. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." Returning to the story I told before, even with the constant signs on the road of the highway I was going on that told me I was going the right direction, I questioned the route before me. I was prompted to doubt the true way because I was unfamiliar with it entirely. The road was clearly marked before me, but my ignorance left me to question. Opposite this, Philip here may have gotten too used to being around Jesus to understand who he really was. Whether it's by over-familiarity, in the routine of religious observance, going to church every week, doing your Bible studies, etc., etc., or being totally ignorant of God's presence in our lives, we miss the connection with the one who gave us our life in order to know him. Even our surroundings on this earth beckon us to know God. God the Father's unseen qualities are revealed by the things which are seen. Much like Augustine, a Christian who lived many years ago, shared these words. "But my sin was this, that I looked for pleasure, beauty, and truth not in him, but in myself and his other creatures. And the search led me instead to pain, confusion, and error. We can so often choose to love the created rather than the Creator. Jesus spoke and lived only for God, his Father, and this could be seen by his actions. His love of his Father cascaded into love for his friends and even for his own enemies. I can ask myself, am I living right? And answer it with measures that constantly change, like what others think of me, or is my quality of life okay, or how much stuff do I have? Yet the truth himself, Jesus Christ, models for us again in his response to his friend Philip, know me and know my Father. Life is not measured by the created, but by the relationship you have with the Creator. And so our story again continues. Who is this one that we can find our way to God through? Who is this one that we can find the truth about God revealed in? This is Jesus Christ. And in him we can find what the true meaning of life is, a relationship with his Father through him. So we continue in John 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Whoops, wrong button. There we go. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus was leaving, and this was going to be hard for his friends. Leaving in such a way, too, that was evil and cruel, yet entirely for their good and that of many others, including ourselves. It was to his Father and for his Father Jesus was going. His life was given up for the love of his Father. A love, may I say, too, that did not diminish his love at all for his friends, but enriched it. Jesus models here a life well spent, a life lived in the presence of God. He shows to his friends and to us, his followers, how to maintain a relationship with God, just like he enjoyed. And the results of that relationship, here we begin to see what it means to know me and know my Father. So what does Jesus show us here? I made a little rhyme. If love is our way, we pray and obey. Your life reflects your love of God. When you ask things of God, you're thinking of him and what he wants. When you obey Christ's commands, you're acting for God and what he wants. This, in truth, manifests or reveals Jesus. He thinks only of God and acts only for God. And when we do the same, love like Christ's love is shown off to each other and to the world around us. We truly begin to know or understand living when we begin loving like Jesus. Another one of the disciples, Judas, not the betrayer, Iscariot, said to him in verse 22, we continue, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Here's another rhyme, if that helps you remember. In love we obey, God with us does stay. Loving obedience, again, is reiterated to Jesus' friends and to us, his followers. If you love him, you want to please him in holy obedience. Conversely, if you don't love him, you won't obey him, nor will you enjoy God's loving presence in your life. And this is a void, an emptiness that so many seek to fill with lesser things. Emptiness to be answered with pleasures, with pride, with power. Hear this word from a father, not just as a warning to obey him or else you're in trouble, but an invitation to know him for who he truly is and what you were truly created for. Then you'll find what you're missing, peace. A life of passion is what Christ lived out, loving his Father constantly. And lastly, peace. These things, continuing in verse 25, I have spoken to you while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you much. For the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So lastly, another rhyme. In love we maintain, God's peace will sustain. Pouring out his heart in this last passage here, Jesus reveals the peace he enjoys with the Father as something that we too can share in and his followers can share in. Time was short. Circumstances were confusing. Change would be inevitable, but God was still in control. Peace was known because of the relationship Jesus had with his Father. His life would end soon, but his love for his Father would not. The peace he had stemmed from a steadfast trust in his Father's way, a belief in his Father's truth, and confidence that the life Jesus was given was to be used in complete obedience to his Father. So time, too, may seem short for you, depending on what's going on in your life. Circumstances confusing, change inevitable, but God is still in control. Just like Jesus, you too can have a relationship with the Father. You can come to him, turning from your own sinful ways, and follow in the way, the truth, and the life. His Son offers to you, now maybe for the first time, and most assuredly every moment hereafter, himself. So in conclusion, we see here in John 14 the example of Jesus, of his perfect model of know me and know the Father. Our life is given to us that we might love the Father. In those three rhyming phrases, if love guides our way, we pray and obey. In love we obey, God with us does stay. In love we maintain, God's peace will sustain. So we have one life to live. We have one life to love the Father. Our example is Jesus Christ, his Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And through him, we see what life is meant for, a loving relationship with God, a life that is so filling that it overflows into all other relationships that exist. So as we love God, we love others and ourselves to the utmost. So I leave you with those words from God's words today. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the example of love that he has shown us that he had for you. Lord, I pray that if there's any here today that do not have a relationship with you, Lord, may they come see me or Lonnie or anyone else here today that knows you and ask how they can come to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for those who are in the faith. I pray, Lord, that no matter the circumstances, they may remember you are with them, that they have a relationship with you through your Son. And Lord, they can be steadfast in their faith, trusting in you no matter the circumstances that may come this year. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.